Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for a good day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for you. Father, I just thank you for what you've done for us. And Lord, we just want to glorify you today and thank you that you are so good all the time. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. You know, a lot of you hear me talking about exchange all the time. It's such an astounding word. But I was sitting in the coffee shop this last week, a couple of weeks ago, and I realized something. The greatest exchange. The greatest exchange has led to the great exchange. As I was sitting there thinking about Jesus with the Father thought it, Jesus spoke it, and the Holy Ghost created it. There's Jesus, one with the Father in heaven. And the Father says, you know, this is a mess down here. Somebody needs to go straighten this mess out. And Jesus said, here am I, send me. Jesus left that to come here. He exchanged that so he could come here and go through what he went through so he could take us there. We have the great exchange because of the greatest exchange that came. And not only that, but the Father had to give up his Son that was with him so he could come and take our place and redeem us. So, you know, as you look at the great exchange, let's don't forget the greatest exchange that ever happened is when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, I want to look at that. I want to start in Isaiah 53. I brought my computer out because there's a few words I want to talk to you about. But the greatest chapter, I say, in the Bible is Isaiah 53. Everybody knows Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then is in reference to the verse before. That says they have not all believed the gospel. For Isaiah says, who hath believed the report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Yes. Isaiah 53. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor beauty when you see him that you would desire him. He's despised, rejected of man, acquainted with sorrow and grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Surely he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquities of us all. That's the greatest chapter. Greatest chapter in the Bible. You know, when they preached in the New Testament, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or none of the epistles. All they had was the greatest chapter in the world to talk about Jesus. But you know, I think about what Jesus did. You know, the Bible says he that's forgiven much loves much. You know, it's wonderful to enjoy the exchanges, but we need to be thankful for why we have the exchanges and to realize and is I wanted to look at that. But in Isaiah 52, verse 13, it starts it out. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled very high. Many were astonished at his visage. It was so marred more than any man, any form of the sons of men. The Spanish Bible says he looked like hamburger meat when they got through beating him. That was his exchange. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouth at him. That which has not been told them, they shall see. That which they have not heard, shall they consider. Who hath believed this report, and who is the arm of the Lord revealed? He will grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, no beauty when you see him that you would desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, an outcast, destitute, rejected, a man of sorrows. That word sorrow is anguish, grief, pain. Acquainted. I want you to see this word acquainted. That word acquainted is the same word that Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived. Jesus was acquainted with, catch this word. Grief is the word disease and sickness. Jesus was acquainted with disease and sickness. And guess what? It wasn't his own. You know, when I saw that, he knew sickness firsthand. He was intimate with sickness because why? You know, in Romans, in Matthew chapter 8, it says in verse 16, at evening many was brought to him, possessed with devils. And he cast out the devils with his word and healed all that was sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah himself, took our infirmities and our griefs. Every time somebody came to him for healing, he took that disease and sickness to himself. That word took is the same word in John 1. It says, as many as received Christ, to them gave he power to become sons of God. That word lambano means to take aggressively. Jesus took disease and sickness aggressively from people.
Yes.
He could deal with it. He was acquainted with it. Why? For this purpose he came. To take disease and sickness so we don't have to carry it. I want you to see, he didn't just passively take it. He took it to himself and carried it away.
Yes.
So we don't have to have it. That's why he made the exchange of being in perfect health to take all this stuff so we could be in perfect health. And we need to be thankful for what he paid for. The greatest exchange ever. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He's despised, and we did esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. And that word griefs is disease and sickness. It's, I don't know why it wasn't carried over to the right word. And carried our sorrows, which are our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:25. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and yet afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a shearer before the shearer is dumb. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He had no judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He made the exchange for us. Yet it pleased. Look in verse 10. No, let's go to verse 9. We know it says that he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence. But he took that violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased God. I want you to catch this. To bruise him. That's a good word. And hath made him sick. You see that word put him to grief? God made Jesus sick. Why? So we could be made well. It pleased God for him to take that disease and sickness so we don't have to carry that disease and sickness. See, in the garden is where these next three verses is fulfilled. In the garden, it says it pleased the Lord to crush him, to put him to grief when he shall make his soul. See, in the Garden of Eden, in the garden was where the Garden of Eden is where they lost it, and the Garden of Gethsemane is where he got it back. Make his soul an offering for sin, because you remember Jesus said in the garden, now is my soul exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And he says, God shall see his seed, say that's me, and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Oh, come on. He shall see the travail of his soul. Where did God see the travail of his soul except there when he was bleeding, as it were, great drops of blood when he said, if it be possible three times, let this cup pass from me. Because you know why? He was taking every one of your griefs, your rejections, your sorrows, and your sufferings, all the stuff you went through emotionally your whole life, Jesus was taking every bit of it to himself. So he could have carried away so you don't have to have it. Thank God for the greatest exchange so we can have the great exchange.
Hallelujah.
He took it to himself.
Amen.
so you don't have to carry it. It's incredible. God shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and divide the spoil with the strong, because Christ poured out his soul unto death. You know, he literally poured out his soul to death because angels came and indubitably him, strengthened him so he could go on. That's where he poured out his soul for me and you. And it says, and he was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You know that word, intercession, is the same word that he took. He made intercession for us. That's the greatest exchange. See, whenever we think of the great exchange, we need to realize that it's only available to us because of what he did. It says, he that knew no sin was made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He that knew no sin was made sin. God made him to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your righteousness is as much right now as it'll ever be. John read a passage from a book we're reading that Spurgeon said, God clothed you with a robe of righteousness, and if you add one thread to that robe, you've messed the whole thing up. You cannot add one thing to that robe of righteousness. It says, put off that old man with his deeds and put on the new man, that new robe of righteousness. And that word means to sink into a garment. When you put it on, you sink into that garment that he's given you, the very righteousness of God. And your sins and your iniquities, he said, I will remember no more. What? No more. No more. He took care of it once for all. How great is our God? Philippians chapter 2. It says, if therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded. Say, we have the mind of what? We can be like-minded. The natural mind's not subject to God, but we have the mind of Christ. It said, be like-minded, having the same agape, being of one accord in one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. The message says, don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourselves aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand to someone else. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Do you know what? You have a choice whether you want to be in the new mind or the old mind. You have one brain, but you have an old mind, and you have a new mind. And every day you have a choice which mind you want to function in. But you got to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Let it. What's the word let mean? Allow it. Choose this mind. Let it be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Message says he had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to that advantage and that status no matter what. Let me read on down in the message. Not at all. When time came, he set aside his privilege as deity and took the status of a slave. What about the great exchange? He was God, and he chose to become a slave. That's the greatest exchange. Catch it, and became human. Jesus, as God, chose to become human and stay in the human form the rest of eternity. The rest of eternity as human. He didn't take upon himself the seed of angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham, that he might in all points be tempted just like we are, yet without sin. That he might be the merciful and faithful high priest for us. He took that. And having become human, verse 8 in the message, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim any special privileges. Wow. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. The worst kind of death at that, the crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone ever was. So that all created beings in heaven and earth, even those dead long ago and buried, will bow and worship before Jesus Christ. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I hope this impacted you like it did me. When I realized all the great exchange I have was because God and Him made a great exchange so we could. Can you imagine the whole universe that Jesus spoke into existence when God thought it and Jesus spoke it? That here, this little bitty place on earth, one little dot in this masses that God chose for His Son to become man and be human for eternity because of His love for us. It's too far out there. It's too far out there. But that's what He did so we could reign in life. If through the death of one, many were made sinners, by the obedience of one, as many made righteous. We are to reign in life. One man reigned in death, but now we can reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. We're reigning in life because we have His life living in us. We are living by the very life of another. When Jesus came, Psalm 69:9, He says, "The zeal of for His house has eaten me up." Who is His house? That's us. The reproaches of those that reproach you are falling upon me. Jesus took all our reproaches on Himself, so we don't have to carry it. We see that. But when I caught that in Matthew 8, where He came and He took all those diseases and sicknesses to Himself so they could be healed. That's what He did for all of us. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come on us through Jesus Christ." Jesus took our curse so we don't have to have it. Yes. So we can have the blessing of Abraham. Amen. See, that's an exchange. Yes. He became a curse. You know, Marion read Jeremiah a while ago. "Cursed is a man that trusts in man, that makes flesh his strength and his heart departs from the Lord." You know, as I minister to people all the time, the major rejection is the biggest problem. Everybody's suffering. Ever since the fall of Adam, man has suffered rejection, trying to work his way back into acceptance to God. Well, God just took that all out of the way. And Ephesians 1:6 said, "He made you accepted into beloved." Yes. Just forget all that trying to get back. Do you remember not the former things, neither consider the old things? Let it all go. Because He made you accepted in Christ. That's what He told me back in 1975. He said, "If I made you accepted, who can reject you?" No one. You've been made accepted. He took your rejection so you could be accepted. Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome stuff. Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." God gave His grace to him to suffer death for every one of us so we could have life. The grace of God to taste death, that's the exchange. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin into salvation. Into. Catch it? That's the Greek. 1 Peter 2:24. We talked about that a while ago. Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He took it to himself. All our sins, our sicknesses, and our disease, he took it to himself to bear it on his body on the tree. So that we could live into righteousness.
Yes.
By whose stripes we were healed.
Yes, Lord.
1 Peter 3:18. For Christ has once suffered for sins.
Yes.
The just for the unjust. The great exchange. The greatest exchange. That he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh but quickened by the Spirit. 1 John 3:5 says, and you know he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sins at all. John 1:14 says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. That little word for is exchange. Grace in exchange for grace. The many-sided grace of God. The grace of God that started this thing, it's the grace of God that keeps being exchanged for more grace and more grace and more grace. Totally different kind of grace. You grow for a while in this grace, and that grace comes to a point where it needs to be exchanged for another measure of grace. You know what? There's no end to those measures of grace.
Yes.
One of these grace, that's why the angel said, holy, holy, holy. Yes. Look at this. Here comes another one. Here comes another. Grace in exchange for another grace.
You just can't stop.
You can't stop it.
Yes.
It just keeps coming.
Yes.
But you see, you got to let go of one to receive the other.
Yes.
So don't hold on to your saving grace. He said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah for that grace. But there comes a point, says, I write unto you, young man, because you've overcome the wicked one.
Yes.
You know who you are. You
yes.
have authority. You've exchanged that babyhood for a son.
Yes.
For a son. But then there comes a place where he says, I write unto you, fathers, because you know the Father. Woo, here we go. Fathers. He wants us to grow up. Grace in exchange of more grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. Isn't that awesome? Acts 2:29-31, it says, he sinned before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Remember what it says in Isaiah? It pleased God to crush it, to make his soul an offering for our sin. His soul was not left in hell. Guess where his soul went? To hell. Why? For yours. For mine. So we don't have to. But it was not left in hell. Neither did he suffer the Holy One to see corruption. You know, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm just going to go ahead and blow your mind. I was thinking about the scriptures, and I was thinking about what Judas did. And Judas got rejected because Jesus rebuked him when he said, this woman, this oil should have been sold and the money given to the poor. He didn't care for the poor. Jesus knew he didn't. He's just greedy. And he went out immediately and sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And because he was rejected. But when he saw, you know why he did it? Because he was a treasure. Can you imagine this little band of men he was treasure over when Jesus was going to establish his kingdom and take everything over? He'd be the treasure over everything. But Jesus was messing around and not doing that. So he was trying to rush him up. Trying to rush him up. So he'd take this thing over and force them to come, and he'd take it over and wipe them all out, which he could have. How many of you know he could have? He could have called 10,000 legions of angels. But the minute he saw what was going on, he said he come back and he threw the money down and said, I've betrayed innocent blood. Sure sounds like repentance to me. And he went out and hung himself. But you know what? He hung himself before Jesus died on the cross. So Jesus went down into the prison and preached to all of those people that wasn't saved. Judas was one of them.
Yes, he was. Yes,
Judas
he was.
Was one of them.
Yes,
Jesus said,
right.
My own familiar friend in whom I've trusted has lifted up his heel against me. Judas had just as much right to receive what Jesus did as anyone else.
Amen.
So don't be surprised if you may see him someday in the new man. That's
right.
Not covetousness, not in that old man, but he's in the new man. Just a thought.
Amen. That's a good thought.
Just a thought. You remember when he kissed Jesus, he said, friend, betrayest thou with a kiss? Do you think Jesus loved Judas? Did Jesus love us while we were yet sinners?
Yes.
Romans chapter 5. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man will one scarcely die. But God commended his love toward us that while we were all sinners, Christ died for us. And why? So that we might receive the atonement, which is the word exchange in Greek. So we could be exchanged from who we were to who we are. See, we don't need to allow ourselves to be pulled back constantly back into who we were, thinking we can do something to please God, to get a little extra something. No. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. You're a son. All creation is waiting for a manifestation for you and me to rise up and take our position in who we are. So it can be redeemed from the corruption that's going on in the creation right now. It wants to be. And you know, one of these days, this heaven's going to be gone. This earth is going to be gone. It'll be a new one. Just like we're going to be completely new in exchange, all the earth is going to be exchanged into a brand new earth.
Thank you, Jesus.
This earth will be exchanged into a new earth.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's going to take a few years for that to happen. But he said it. He said, I create a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because he's into exchange. All things have become new in him. Oh. Romans 1:3 says, concerning Jesus, his son, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. 2 Corinthians 2:8 says, though he was rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. He says, foxes have holes. Son of man don't even have a place to lay his head. Did you know Jesus spent most of his nights in the garden? That's why Judas knew where to find him. He knew what was coming in the garden. He knew. That's where he spent most of his nights, in the garden. Because why? He didn't have a place to lay his head. Why? So we could have a wonderful place to lay our head someday. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:32 said, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending forth his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. The Son of God was exchanged into the likeness of sinful flesh. The greatest exchange. Why? So we could be exchanged into the very righteousness of God the Father for eternity. Is that a good trade? 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And that leads us to Hebrews 2:14, says, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And he didn't take upon himself the nature of angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham, so he would ever be made like unto us. Is that awesome? Jesus was called the Son of God. But Jesus was also called the the Son of Man. Catch it? The Son of God and the Son of Man for eternity. He came to us as a Son of Man so we could become as a Son of God. What a great exchange.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Matthew 9:6 says, "But you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Thus he said to the sick of palsy, "Arise, take up your bed and go into your house." John 1:51, "And he said unto him, Verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. As he is, so are we in this world." You want to see angels ascending and descending? Well, invite them to come. Because it says, aren't they not ministering spirits sent to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? They are here to help you minister. They're not here to be worshipped. They're here to work.
They want something to do.
They've been unemployed too long.
Yes.
They want something to do. Son of God, the Son of Man, he was also called the Son of David. Matthew 15:22, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came to him on the coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he said, It's not right to give the children's bread to dogs." But she didn't act in rejection. She could have got her feelings hurt. I would have left. But she said, That's all right, I am. I'm a dog. But you know, Master, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He couldn't handle that. He couldn't handle that. Said, Your daughter's whole.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:8 says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to this gospel." Revelation 5:5 says, "Weep not. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed." And you know now he's seated together. You know what the great exchange we talk about all of it is? Spirit, soul, and body. The garden, the whipping post, and the cross. He did that so we could be whole. Spirit, soul, and body. The God of all peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he is, so are we now in this present world. That's called the great exchange. And it's available to all of us. And there's some of you here who's got new spirits. And there's some of you here still living out of that old soul. That old mind, will, and emotion. And you just will make an exchange today. So you just pray with me. Let's all make the exchange. Because of what he did, let's receive what he did and make that exchange. Let's just all pray. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know you died for me, spirit, soul, and body. I thank you, Lord, you have saved me. I have a new spirit. But I ask today that you exchange this old soul, this old way of thinking, this old way of acting, this old way of reacting. I don't need it anymore. I exchange it for your mind, your will, your emotion. And Lord Jesus, I know one day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be exchanged. And that old corruptible body is going to be exchanged. And given a body according to your seed. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Connie reminded me. Stand up. I want to pray a blessing over you. I want to speak a blessing over you. Over everybody.
Oh, I see you want us all. I thought you just want him to stay. No.
He,
oh, we got you now.
If I forget to do this, he'll let me know.
That was annoying, yes.
The Lord bless you
yes.
and keep you.
Yes.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Woo!
Yeah.
All right, now you're dismissed.